Begin the current daf, Masech Desvachim daf Ein. Begin 4 lines down from the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we're discussing the Machlekes in our Mishnah between Reb Meir and Rehuda and Reb Yesi, but primarily between Reb Meir and Rehuda, regarding the halacha of Malika, which is the topic of this parak of Chata Sa'if, continuing the theme of the previous parak, regarding that there has to be cutting of the pipes of the bird Chatas in the Beis HaMikdash. Now what happens is, if something puzzles, so that's what the Mishnayos were discussing regarding what happens to it right now, is it Metame Beis Abliya as a Nevela or not. Now, one of the cases that was Machlekes in our Mishnah is regarding if you find that it's a Trefa, meaning on the outside everything looked good, but the bird has a mortal defect. So it's not valid as a carbon. The question is, however, did the Malika accomplish that now it's not a Nevela anymore, as Shechita generally is, let's say with an animal, even if it's Trefa, it's not going to transmit as Nevela or not? So the Gemara had shown that according to Reb Meir, that he says that it's not going to be metame as a nevela, because he has a pasuk that he expounds that shows a comparison between zois teres habehema va'oif, between the behema and the oif, just like behema we know, even if it's a trefa, if it was slaughtered, it's not going to be metame as a nevela. So to regarding a knife, whatever it is that permits it generally to be eaten, which is in the chulin, the shechita, regarding kachim, is malika, that if you do malika, it's going to be metaret. Now Reb Yehuda, who said that it will transmit tumah in the situations of the bird, if you find that it's a trefa, so the Gemara says, because he has a pasuk too. It says in the pasuk, when it talks about the tumma of nevela, it says nevela and trefa. So Rebbe says, what's the utility of talking about trefa? Either way you look at it, trefa is already subsumed in nevela. If a trefa lives, so it's only going to become problematic when it dies, which is nevela. If it doesn't live, so right now it's a nevela, because it's not going to live. So either way, there's nothing really that it's teaching from trefa. So he says, oh, so therefore the word trefa is coming to include that a trefa that's slaughtered, that it's going to go ahead and transmit tumma. Meaning, even though it was slaughtered, that's the chiddush and trefa, because it's going to die, that's nevela. Even if it was slaughtered, that it would have lived, but it's still going to be metame, the tumma like we have by nevela. So in that, the Gemara had asked a question from Rav Shizvi, if that's the case, so seemingly nowhere is the halacha teaching any utility regarding trefa, because either way you look at it, so it has a mortal defect, so what? You're telling me that it's going to die? So that's nevela. It's going to live? So it's only a problem when it's going to die. So what's the problem? Either way you look at it, what's the chiddush? It must be teaching like you want to say the logic. Oh, that even if it's going to be slaughtered, that's what the halacha is going to teach me. But then what does it teach me by the pasuk of v'chelev nevela v'chelev trefa? Where there it's teaching regarding the permissibility of the fats of a dead animal that it's still going to be permitted to use and it's not going to transmit tumma as the dead animal itself. If you can tell me that it's teaching regarding that pasuk, that the chelev treif is only permitted that when it was slaughtered, the insinuation is that but the treif itself is tameh, so that the Gemara disproved them. We learned in the Braisa that a treif sheshachta is not going to transmit tumah, even the animal itself. So then what do you do with that extra word treif if you're saying every time the word treif is extra? So you're going to say that it must be referring to that the halacha of tumah will only be for something that has its species of treifa, which excludes the halacha of when it's a tameya, that it does not have b'mine treifa. So then the Gemara says, that if that's the case, we're back to the question. And Rabbi Huda's pasuk that he's using for exposition is also should be used to exclude oiv tameh, which does not have b'mine treifa, and therefore you don't have an extra word of treifa. So that the Gemara is, that's where the Gemara is in the middle of its discussion, trying to figure out, the Gemara had two options already, figure out what exactly then are we learning out from that pasuk of chelev nevela v'chelev treifa, which again, according to Behud, the word treifa generally is always superfluous. So therefore, he used it in the context of the halachas of nevela to teach you this halacha, that even a treifa that was slaughtered, even if it was slaughtered, generally that's not a problem with nevela, but if it's a treifa, that it will still have the halacha of nevela, which is his discussion in our Mishnah that he disagrees with Reb Meir. But then what do you do with the pasuk of a chelev nevela v'chelev treifa, which again, that general pasuk is coming to teach that you're not allowed to eat the forbidden fats. However, although the nevela itself is going to be tummy, but regarding the fats, you can use it for your own purposes, whatever you need it for, and it's not going to be tummy. So we know that has to teach us regarding the nevela, but regarding treifa, what does treifa teach us more than nevela? So Ella rather continues the Gemara to try to answer what is that teaching in that pasuk. Hi treifa, says the Gemara, when it talks about the fats and it mentions treifa, an animal with a mortal defect, mibaye, it is necessary. Lasu yichaye, to include the halacha regarding a wild animal, to tell you that its fats are also going to be tahar if the animal dies, because there the treifa is an inclusionary term to tell you that whatever species has a treifa in it, which basically means if you have a kosher animal but it has a mortal defect, which applies not only to domesticated animals, but even to chay, to wild animals that are also kosher, that to tell you that it's also going to have its chayl of being tar. Because I mean, I would have thought to say that, no, maybe chay would be different. Because I would tell you, mi shechel ba'asa u'besara mutter, that the halacha of the pasuk is only applying to something that its fats are forbidden to be consumed. And its meat is generally permitted to be consumed, I mean, regarding a regular animal. When you slaughter it, the meat you're allowed to eat, but the fats are chaleb, there's shuman, are kosher fats, there's chaleb, which are forbidden fats. So it's regarding veer that the pasuk is saying, oh, like the pasuk says, you're not allowed to eat these fats, but you're allowed to use them because they're going to be tar. So yatzizu, that would exclude the wild animal, shechelba obisara mutter, with veer, it's actually not different. When you slaughter the wild animal, it doesn't have the halacha of chaleb like a behemoth. There, actually, both the fats and the meat are permitted to be eaten. And therefore, maybe I would say that when it does become an avela, that therefore we're also not going to differentiate between the meat and the fats. And just like the meat is going to be tame of an avela, so too is its fats. Kamash Malam, that's why we needed the word treifa to say that no, anything that has in its that species, that it can become treifa, which is any kosher animal, including the wild animal, the fats are going to be permitted to be used, and that is not going to transmit tame. However, on this interpretation, the Gemara continues to ask, where the Girsa takes out Amalei, and the Gemara asks, how could you say that the fats of a wild animal, when it dies, when it becomes nevela, are going to be tahar, and that's what you're saying is being included from the extra word treifa, but maish not temeya, but why is a chaya, a wild animal, any different than a non-kosher animal, which we had said before, continuing from the previous daf, that its fats are going to be tummy? Why? Because the ain chel b'cholik mi b'sara, what's unique about a non-kosher animal? There's no difference between its fats and its meat. Regarding all of that, you're not allowed to eat. And hence, you cannot apply the pasuk that says regarding it, v'achol lo ta'chluhu. The pasuk says that regarding the fats that you're allowed to use, the pasuk says, however, you cannot eat it. Now, you cannot interpret the pasuk then going on a non-kosher animal, that when it dies as a nevela, that then its fats are going to be permitted to be used, because actually, it's not only the chaylev of the non-kosher animal that's asr, even its meat is forbidden to be eaten. But then those particulars, chayinami, the wild animal has the same criterion, where ein chel b'cholik mibisara, its fats is not differentiated from its meat to be forbidden. Hence, you cannot recite the pasuk v'ochol lo tochlunu to say you're not allowed to eat it. Not allowed to eat what? The fats? What do you mean? By the chaya, both are permitted. So therefore, regarding tuma also, we should say that it's not different than the meat, that when it dies as nevela, just like the meat is, it transmits tuma as nevela, so too should its fats. Very moreover, compounding the question, the Gemara's Hoksib, it says there in that pasuk itself, v'ochol lo tochlu, that you shouldn't eat it. So obviously, we're only saying what's tahar regarding nevela, only the fats that are forbidden to be eaten. But the fats of a wild animal, that the pasuk is not purifying if the chaya becomes nevela. Rather, it's only saying that the fats are going to become the fats of a meat that becomes forbidden. And it's actually from this pasuk that later on in the parak the Gemara says that this is where we know that the forbidden fats of a wild animal, the pasuk is not purifying from tuma, and it is going to be tuma because it's only something that you can't eat. That we're saying is going to be tar. But the fats of a chaya actually you could eat all of them, even the chaylev. And therefore, that cannot be what the pasuk is referring to when it's saying that it's going to be tahar. So Elam Abai, Rather Abai has a different interpretation. He says, what's this word treifa coming to say? Treifa legufa yitzruch. The word treifa is coming to say for the halacha itself, meaning, what's the pasuk talking about? The pasuk talking about an animal that died without being slaughtered. And the talking about treifa, an animal has the moral defect. On that we said from the previous topic, it says, there's nothing unique about treifa. It's anyway going to be subsumed in the category of nevela. So essentially, every time we have to find, it's like superfluous, what is it coming to teach us? And it's saying there in the pasuk, although you can't eat the fats, but unlike the dead animal that is the meat, the flesh itself, it's going to be tummy, the fats are not tummy, you can use it whatever you need it for. On that Abaye says, well, that's what the pasuk is coming to teach you regarding a treifa, to tell you that the fats of a treifa that became a nevela are also going to be tahar. But we're talking about a treifa that was a wild animal. Now, that you had said, and that's what Yehuda's logic was from the previous daf, what do you mean? What are you teaching me anything regarding a treifa? Anything of a treifa is already subsumed in the category of nevela. And that says, Abaye, no. Because shalai tamid, you shouldn't say, you would think to say that actually treifa would be different. It would actually be different than just a regular nevela. because hayilu tumei asur michayim, a non-kosher animal, is forbidden when it's alive. It's already. It's not because if it becomes an avel or anything. The moment it's born, it's a treifa animal. Utreifa asur michayim, and the treifa, which we call the real treifa, which is with a moral defect, is also forbidden from when it's alive. It's not because if it becomes an avel or not, it has a moral defect. It cannot be eaten. So you make the following comparison. Just like a non-kosher animal, its fats are going to transmit tuma, as we said from the previous daf, going on top of this amid, that the chaylev of a non-kosher animal are tuma when it's an avela, unlike the chaylev of the pasuk of a kosher animal. So I have trefa chel batame, so I would say also a trefa has the same qualities as the non-kosher animal, that it's also asur michayim, and therefore its chaylev should also become tuma. Therefore, the pasuk had to say that, no, not only the chaylev of a nevela, but even the chaylev of a treifa, yeah, when it becomes a nevela, but to say the fact that it's a treifa does not make it any worse, and its chaylev is going to be tar. On this interpretation of Abaye, the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that's the case, then we're really back to the question, to square one again. There's two psukim that we keep on discussing. The primary pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda had brought for his interpretation, his drasha, which was regarding the tumah of nevela, and then there's another pasuk regarding chaylev nevela and chaylev treifa. So you just interpreted what is treifa come to teach when it talks about chaylev, but then hainami mibayi, then you also need the other pasuk, the primary pasuk, that of Rabbi Yehuda, when it was talking about the treifa of a bird that becomes a nevela, where Rabbi Yehuda had said, oh, the word treifa is extra, oh, it's coming to teach the halacha that even if you slaughter the treifa, it's not going to help, it's still going to be considered a nevela. That asked the Gemara, why? You need it now, similar to what you said you need treifa here by chaylev. Shalaytem, that you shouldn't say, Hayil va'ayv tami asa b'achila, since a non-kosher bird is forbidden to be eaten. Utreifa asur b'achila, and a treifa, a bird with a moral defect, is also forbidden to be eaten. And therefore you should make the following comparison. Ma'ayv tami ein mitame, just like a non-kosher bird actually, seemingly paradoxically, but it does not transmit tumah to someone that's in his throat, as we also said that, and we're going to explain that later on, the source for that, where it's only a kosher bird, actually, that becomes an avela, that it transmits tumah to the one who's swallowing in his throat. But actually, a non-kosher bird does not transmit tumah. So I would say, af treifa ein mitama, so therefore, that maybe I would say that the animal that's a treifa, since it has this similar quality to the non-kosher bird that's forbidden to be eaten, that also does not transmit tumah. Maybe that's what I needed to say in the pasuk. When it's talking about, yeah, the tumah of nevela, I would think that treifa actually would not transmit tumah, almost paradoxically. What do you mean? It's nevela and it's also treifa. Yeah, but you see by a non-kosher bird, which not only nevela, but also non-kosher, there it's actually not transmit tumah. I would think to say the same thing would be by treifa. And maybe that's what you need the pasuk for. It's not extra for Yehuda to teach his halachic chiddush of saying that a treifa, even though it was slaughtered, that's still going to transmit tumah of nevela. But moreover, the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Abayam, even regarding this other pasuk of the fats of the behemoth that we're discussing about. Now, not only the first question was asking ramifications of Abai's interpretation, the second question is asking on his interpretation itself, and regarding this pasuk of Chelev Nevela Chelev Treifa, ask the Gemara, Mi ikala mele of Treifa mitmei, can you really learn out an animal that's a treifa from a non-kosher animal, where you were saying, oh, so therefore you would have thought that the fats of the treifa should be tamei, just like the fats of a non-kosher animal when it becomes nevela, and that's what you need the pasuk to say, oh no, it's going to be tar. How can you even think to learn from that to need the pasuk to say that according to Abaye? But tamei elohei shloshas akasha, they're not the same thing. A non-kosher animal never had a moment of validity. It's a chazer. It never had something that was going to make it permitted. In contrast, an animal with a moral defect had a moment of opportunity when it was born and it was pure. Maybe when it was 3 years old, it suddenly got a bang and it became a treifa, but that's not the same thing. So why would I have thought to learn it from Temeah to need a pasuk to say that it's not going to be a problem and that tzcheva is going to be tar? And v'chitim, if you're going to say, no, treifa could be the same as a non-kosher animal. Treifa mi bet Michael, remember, what are you going to say regarding an animal that became a treifa? It was actually born already with genetically a mortal defect, but b'mina mi ha'ika. But still, its species, however, has a shasa kosher. And therefore, why would I have thought to learn from Tamei? And therefore, that's the second question on Abaye's interpretation. And therefore, elam Rava. Rather, Rava says, back to the question, what is, according to Rabbi Huda, like we're saying, all the words treifa extra, what does the word chaylev treifa come to teach us? He says, treifa is coming to teach us by chaylev, actually, not regards to the element of its tahara. You're regards to tahara, why should it be any different than nevela? And because treifa is always the same as nevela. Rather, it's actually for the end of the pasuk. The pasuk says, although we're saying you could use it for whatever you wanted, meaning it's tar in contrast to the meat of the dead animal, the pasuk says, but va'ochel lo tochluhu, but you can't eat it. To tell you that if you eat the fat of an animal that's a treifa and became an avela, that the liability is going to be for the fact that it's forbidden fats, which is chalif, because we're talking about a behema, and it's an avela, it died, and it's a treifa, which is a moral defect, which is also forbidden to be eaten. And says Rav HaTorah Amar, you know what the Torah is saying? Yava yis nevelo, let the prohibition of a dead animal come v'yochal al isur chalif and take effect. Oh, this was already forbidden to eat this part of the animal, the fats. Even if you would have slaughtered the animal, these fats are always forbidden parts. Now that it was died, now you can have two isurim. And yava isur treifa, and let the isur of the fact that it was a treifa v'yochal isur chalif take effect on the fact that it was already forbidden, even though it already had isur chalif. In other words, the chiddush of the pasuk is, don't say what's known as, which is also the opinion of Rabbi Huda we're coming to discuss, that in isachal alissa, that one prohibition cannot take effect if it's already prohibited, and therefore the only thing you should be violating when you're eating these fats is the isa of chalev, because that's the first isa that took effect. That's why, says the Gemara, says Rabbi, why he mentioned there in the pasuk, nevela and treva, to tell you that, no, it actually will be forbidden not only because of chalev, but because of nevela and treva too. And says the Gemara, Tzrich, and you needed to say both Nevela and Treva. Why? Just say one. Say Nevela, and I would know either one or the other, that you see Isser is Chal Isser on this Isser of Chalev. Says the Gemara, no, because the Yesh, meaning Nevela, had we only said Nevela, Mishum de Metamia. Because since it's what transmits Tuma, when it dies, an animal transmits Tuma, Maga, Masa, so therefore I would have said, since it's a stringency that applies to Nevela, therefore it's such a stringent issue that it could take effect even on something that's already prohibited because of Chalev. Avotrefa, but regarding the fact, and especially so by an animal, where there everyone would agree that if an animal just gets a mortal defect, that then it's not considered like an Nevela yet, and therefore it does not transmit Tuma when it's alive. Emaloy, I would say that it's not such a severe Isser, and therefore it would not be chal on the previous prior Isser of chalev. That's why I have to say treifa too. And v'yashmin the treifa, we only said the case of a treifa, mishum d'isur michayim. There it has a stringency because its prohibition is already, it started when it's alive. Of a nevela emaloy, but nevela where it only becomes problematic when it dies, there I would say that actually it would not be stringent enough to be chal on the Isser of chalev. Tzricha, therefore you needed to say both nevela and treifa, and therefore we have resolved, according to Rava, the reasoning of why it says chalev treifa in the pasuk, to say regarding the chalev that the isra chalalissa will apply not just to nevela but also to treifa, because we said that you would have said one, you would not have known the other, and that's what it's coming to teach you. And again, Rabbi Yehuda had said, but regarding the pasuk of nevela, when it talks about nevela and treifa, there the word treifa is unnecessary, and there it's coming to teach his halacha of the Mishnah, which is that even if you slaughter it, which generally removes the animal from the isra of the tumah of nevela, that it's not going to, and it's going to remain with the tumah of nevela. Now the Gemara continues, says, but Remeir, that he actually disagrees with Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah, and he says that slaughtering a treifa will purify it from the tumah of treifa and will not transmit tumah. So high treifa, so then this that it does mention by the pasuk of the birds, that it mentions treifa, so my avali, what does he do with it? Seemingly it's unnecessary, like we said, the logic of Rabbi Huda in the previous half, either way you look at it. Is it going to live? So then what's the problem? It's going to die? So it's already in the veil. So what does treifa come to teach? So that says the Gemara, Mibayli lema'ute shchita shehilafnim. He needs it for when one slaughters, which different interpretations, Rishayim, go and kachim, but we could say that it's going on the chulin. If one slaughters the bird, the inside, in the azara, which we had said previously, that we said that to have the tumah of nevela, and that's why he says the word treifa in nevela, to say the halach of nevela has to be similar to treifa, which is just like treifa, it doesn't make a difference where the animal is, in the inside or the outside, it's going to be the same. So that excludes if someone slaughters chulin in the inside area, although that's generally problematic, but since it's not going to be the same thing as inside and outside, because when you slaughter a bird outside, a chulin, that's actually how it's supposed to be, and then it's actually going to be tahar and not going to be problematic, so then inside also is not going to be problematic. That's what we learned now from the word treifa, that has to be similar to treifa, that it has to be problematic both inside and outside, in the azara and outside, which is not the case by when you slaughter inside, because when you slaughter outside, it's not a problem. So therefore, even inside, it's not going to have the tumah of nevela. But says the Gemara and Rabbi Huda, so where does he know that halacha? Treifa achrinaksev. It says another time treifa, when it talks about the nevela of a kosher bird, when it says to the kahanim, it says nevela, treifa, etc., lo yechel, they shouldn't eat it. So that is extra pasuk, And it says again, they're also treifa. So he has another treifa. So yeah, one will come to say the halacha that Meir just said. And the other one is extra to say his halacha, that when you slaughter it, it's still going to have the tumma of the nevela. Says the Gemara, Reb Meir. But then what does he do with that extra word treifa? So says the Gemara, chalam ute shchita shilifnim. So one of them is like we just said before. It's common to exclude when you slaughter it inside, it's still not going to have tumma of nevela. And v'chad lema'ute oif tamei. The other one is to exclude a non-kosher bird, which we had mentioned before. We said we're going to explain later, that we expounded on the previous daf, that it has to be only something that has b'minei treifa. It has to be something that its species has treifa. Well, that excludes a non-kosher bird where it doesn't have b'minei treifa, because treifa is only if you have a kosher animal, has a moral defect. Oh, then you can't eat it. Non-kosher animal, you can never eat it. That's what that treifa is coming to say, that when you have an nevela by a non-kosher bird, actually will not transmit tumma. Because the tumma of nevela is only something that can have in its type treifa, and a non-kosher bird does not have that. And therefore, paradoxically, if someone is swallowing the oif tamei in his throat, it's not going to transmit tumma. Says the Gemara, in Rabbi Yehuda. So where does he know that halacha from? Says the Gemara, minevela nafkele. He learns it out from the pasuk over there, where it mentions nevela, which that's not necessary, because you already say the halacha of nevela by the first pasuk. So it's coming to teach us, as we said in the previous daf, that it's only something that it's prohibited to eat because of not eating a nevela. That excludes a non-kosher bird, where you can't eat it anyway because of not eating tamei, which in that context, tamei means not kosher. So from that word nevela, we know to exclude a oif tamei from transmitting tamei. Says Gemara and Remeir. So the Gemara says, and what about Remeir? Hai says that extra pasuk of nevela, my avale, what does he do with that nevela? Says the Gemara, he needs it to teach regarding, to qualify the tumma that the pasuk is talking about over there, of swallowing the dead, non-slaughtered kosher bird, that the measurement of the prohibition of eating it should be l'shi'ir achila, to the measurement of consumption, which is b'kezayis, that it's going to be the size of an olive, which generally that's the size of achila, and therefore that's what the pasuk is referring to when it talks about nevela over there, when it talks about, it's coming to include the measurement of how much the isra of nevela is, kezayis. That's the halacha the pasuk is referring to. Says the Gemara, typically mikra kama, but then why isn't it enough? Why do you need that second pasuk of nevela to come to teach that halacha? The first pasuk said, v'anefesh asher teichel nevela. So, it says it in the terminology of consumption. So I already know that the halacha of tumas nevela is the measurement of consumption, which is kezayis. Why would I need the second pasuk of nevela to teach that? Oh, says the Gemara, because there's actually two halachas that you need to learn out. Chad l'shir achila b'kezayis. Yeah, you're right. One is teaching you regarding the measurement of consumption, which is, it says in the first pasuk, let's say, eating, which is b'kezayis, size of an olive. But then another one is telling you another measurement regarding consumption, not just the size of the mass, but also in the measurement of time, that it has to be consumed in the time of eating a half a loaf of bread, where if someone delays eating the olive-sized piece of this dead bird, more than the time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, which the Mefarshim say, between 4 and 9 minutes, or maybe even more, that's like other types of eating where it does not combine to get a punishment for eating that prohibited item. Here also, it's not going to combine to transmit tumma to the person that's eating when it's in his throat if it takes more than that amount of time. And the Gemara says why you needed to say it over here. Don't we know always in the halacha of achila, which, and this is one of the halachas of achila, that it's b'chdei achilas pras? Says the Gemara, no, so good. I mean, I would have thought to say, since this halacha of tumas nevelas oiv tahar is a novelty, we don't find anywhere in the Torah such a similar type of tumma that outside, if someone touches the kosher bird that was not slaughtered, that just died, does not transmit tumma. Touch it, carry it, no. Only when it's in the person's throat. So since it's a novelty, I would say, that it would transmit tumma. Since it's a novelty, we can't compare it to prior concepts that we know. And if it would transmit tumma, even if it's in more the amount of time of eating half a loaf of bread, still transmit tumma. That's where we need the other reference to nevela to say that, no, it has the other halacha of eating forbidden nevela, which is not only in the shir of kezayis, but also in the shir of kedei achilas pras. So the Gemara concluded this discussion from the previous daf, discussed the machlekes remain behuda regarding their psukim, and how do they actually explain the other one's pasuk regarding this halacha of a treifa that had malika done to it? Generally, malika, it removes the halacha of tumma of nevela. Question is, but if you find it a treifa, that was the machlekes, is it going to transmit tumma of nevela or not? Now, continuing on that pasuk that we had quoted, Tanabban, we had brought in this pasuk to ask on Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation of the extra word treifa. So what do you do with the extra word treifa by chaylev? Now, once we introduce it, the Gemara discusses that. Tara b'alana b'raisa. The pasuk says in Vayikra Perek Zayin Pasuk of Dalet says v'chaylev nevela v'chaylev treifa. Now these forbidden fats, or these fats which are certain types of fats of a dead animal or of a treifa. So the pasuk says, as we've been quoting all along, it says, "Ya'asa l'cha malacha." You could use it whatever you need to. Which is the halacha that we were quoting all along, that means to say that it's not going to transmit tumah unlike the meat of the animal. And however, v'achal lo'techlu, but you can't eat it because chaylev you can never eat. So even though now that it died, you can't eat it. So says the Braisa. So what type of species are we talking about? Says the Braisa, "B'chaylev behemet tahira kasam adabat." The pasuk is talking about the fats of a kosher animal, and the pasuk is coming to tell you that when it dies and becomes nevela, although generally there's a lach of tumas nevelas regarding the whole of the animal that's going to transmit tumah, Paz is coming to say, however, the fats, interestingly, is different than the rest of the animal, and it's going to be tar, it's not going to transmit tumah. Now, on that says, and therefore it applies to like the context of the psukim over there regarding kachim, it's not a problem that it's tummy. On that says, the braisa, is that really so? Are you going to interpret the pasuk as referring to the fats of a kosher animal that died? Maybe it's talking about the fats of a non-kosher animal when it died. And that says the Braisa, no, you can't say the Amrit, you have to say as follows. We find precedents that tihir, there's purification from becoming tamei from being a nevela, mechlal shchuta, through the medium of slaughtering. Meaning, when an animal dies, really it's nevela. But when you slaughter it, that removes it from the tumah of nevela, and it's actually kosher, and it's tar. And so do we find parallel of a tir mechlal chaylev, that there was also a purification from tumah of nevelas through the medium of being chaylev. Like what that's what the pasuk is saying. When it's chaylev, it's not going to have the tumah of nevela. So we should make the following comparison. Ma'akash a tir mechlal shchuta, just like when we find there's a purification from tumah of nevela through the medium of slaughtering. Bitahayra v'loy bitameya is only by a kosher animal, not by a non-kosher animal. Because regarding a non-kosher animal, we don't find anywhere that slaughtering is going to permit it, and slaughtering does not purify it from nevela, which actually it's brought in the Torah's Kain and from an extra pasuk. It says ve'elu titamu b'chal negeya behem b'maisim. These are going to transmit tumah to whoever touches them when they're dead, where that bohem in them is seemingly superfluous, to tell you that even if they're slaughtered, now, so what do I fulfill when it says when they're dead? It's to say when they're dead and not when they're alive. And the pasuk there is talking about by a non-kosher animal to say even if it's slaughtered. How do we know it's talking about a non-kosher animal? Because it says over the l'chol b'meshim afreses parsav shasah and shasas. It's not totally clove the split hooves. And so it's talking about a non-kosher animal where it tells you that the word bohem is like always going to transmit tumah when it's dead, meaning even when it's slaughtered. So you see that slaughtering does not purify the tumah nevela regarding a non-kosher animal. So, afkashtir mechlal chaylev, then in the parallel other category, when there's a purification from tumah nevela by being chaylev, must be b'tahir v'lo b'tameya, must be also only by a kosher animal and not by a non-kosher animal. Oy, klach l'derechzu, or says the Braisa, no, maybe I could derive the logic a different direction. Tir mechlal nevela, there's a purification from the category of nevela, which later on we're going to explain that this is talking about nevelas oif tamei. Meaning, although a kosher bird, when it dies, so then it transmits tumah in the person's throat. However, there is an exclusion from that category of nevela of oif by a non-kosher bird, which we said paradoxically actually does not transmit tumah in the person's throat. And v'tir mechlal chaylev, and we also purified nevela from the category when it's chaylev. So you can make the following comparison. Just like when we purify from nevela, b'tamei v'loy b'tahara is actually only by a non-kosher species, not by a kosher species. Because actually by a kosher bird, we said it does transmit tumah in the person's throat. So maybe I'll tell you then, maybe then when we also purified it, when it's chaylev, is also b'tamei v'loy b'tahara. Maybe it's also only by a non-kosher type and not by the kosher type. So therefore says the Braisa, you're going to say as we continue to Medbay, is that you're right. If we take the first option that we said in the Braisa, it's going to come out that that we're purifying the chaylev of a dead animal would be saying that it's b'tahira. It's only like we would assume to say that it's by a kosher animal. But if you're right, if you take the second option the Braisa was saying, then it's going to come out that he b'tameya, that actually is talking about a non-kosher animal. And it's the fats of a non-kosher animal that died that's going to be tar and not that of a kosher animal. So therefore, we cannot derive it from logic, because you're right, you could say it either way. Tamalema, that's what the Bible says, that's what the word treifa is coming to teach in the pasuk, chaylev treifa, to tell you mishiyesh b'mina treifa, some type that has in its species that it's going to be treifa, which is a kosher animal, that's where we have this halacha of its chaylev being permitted and not being tameh after the animal dies. I'm going to exclude a non-kosher animal, she'ein b'mina treifa, where its species is not going to have this, where it doesn't have its in the species treifa, and there we did not permit it's the tum of nevela from those chaylev, which Rashid Megabetzes works out, how that works out with the previous Gemara's discussion, with Rabbi Huda. But that's what the Bryce is teaching from here, that we're excluding, that, and that's how we know it's tumat the chaylev of behemoth tayra. Now, continues the Bryce, but I would not have excluded this permissibility and exemption of tumah of nevela on the chaylev regarding I would not exclude a wild animal. Sheyesh b'mina treifa, because similarly it should be the same as a behemoth tayra that dies regarding its chaylev, because it also has treifa, its species could become treifa. Oh, tamalem as the pasuk teaches, no va'achol le'techlu, it says, although there's fat, you're allowed to use it. It's not tummy, but you can't eat it. That teaches us misha chel ba'asar b'sar mutter. That's only regarding a fat, that its fat is forbidden to be eaten generally, and its meat is permitted, which is how an animal usually is. When you slaughter an animal, a domesticated animal, the meat is permitted. The chelev, which are certain types of fats, are forbidden. Yatzachaya shechel ba'asar mutter. That will exclude a wild animal, which actually, when you slaughter a wild animal, its meat and its chelev is permitted to be eaten. So therefore, the pasuk cannot be told madachaya, and therefore it also does not have the exemption of tamas nevela on its chelev, and its chelev, just like a non-kosher animal, will also be aser, will also be considered tame after the animal died. Now, however, Amalei Rav Yaakov bar Abba l'Rava, he asks Elamiata, he asks on the Braisa. The Braisa said that what the second option it was saying, when we couldn't figure out based on logic what the pasuk is talking about, it says that, wait a second, maybe I could tell you, just like when there was an exemption from the vela, it was talking about a non-kosher animal, not a kosher one. And therefore, maybe I could tell you the pasuk of that regarding chaylev is also going to be a non-kosher, not a kosher. So on that, ask Rav Yaakov bar Abba Tarava, if that's the case, it sounds like what the Brice is saying is that nevelas behemet ta'iruhu demetama, that it's saying that what? When an animal that's kosher dies, that, oh, it's its flesh that's going to transmit tama. But nevelas behemet tameya loy tama. But when a non-kosher animal dies, its nevela is not going to transmit tama. But we know the halacha is that it does transmit tama. What does the price mean when it says that we find an exemption of nevela that applies to which type of animal? It's talking about a non-kosher animal that there it's not going to transmit tama of nevela. So Amalei Sa Rava said to him, Kama sabi shebishtuba. How many, I'm in wonder that you made this mistake, that many elders like you make this mistake. It says Rava Seifa, the end of the Braisa, that when it was saying that when it's going to purify a non-kosher a nevela from being nevela, and therefore maybe we should compare the halach of chelev to that too, that it's also only tameya, a non-kosher type, not a kosher. That's a son of the nevela's oif tamei. That was talking about the dead carcass of a non-kosher bird. We're there, yeah, the Torah, as we had mentioned before, exempts it from the tumah by Beis Abliya, because it's only something that has b'mina treifa, excluding the non-kosher bird, which doesn't have b'mina treifa. It's always problematic to be eaten. But the animal of a non-kosher species, yeah, of course, there it's going to have tumah nevela. Now, continuing regarding the discussion in our Mishnah, qualifying the different opinions, Amar B'yechanan, he says, Leitira Meir, we're going back to the opinion of Meir. Meir disagreed with the Rebbe Yehuda, and he said that when you do malika on the Mandukhata Sa'if, so even though it turns out that it was a trefa, it's not a valid carbon, but it malika is like shchita of an animal, where it's going to purify it from the tumah of nevela, so qualifies Rabbi Yechanan, he didn't purify it, ela b'tmimin, only if at least the bird was unblemished, that it wasn't missing a limb, it was intact, that's where the halacha malika applies to. Now, if you find that it's a trefa, of course not a kosher carbon, but that's where malika applies, so that's where it's going to purify from tumah of nevela. Of a Bebali Mumin Loi, but if it's a blemished bird, so then no, of course, Malika doesn't apply to a Bebali Mumin. You see that when you see it, and therefore Malika's not going to do anything, and there Ramei would agree that it's still going to have the Tumah of Nevela. On that, Rabbi Lazam, he disagrees with Rabbi Yechanan. He says, no, I feel a Bebali Mumin. No, Ramei was saying that Malika is going to remove it from its Tumah of Nevela, not only if it's a Treva, but even if it's a blemished animal. It Maname Sotu, we learned that Amr Bibi, he said, Amr Rabbi Lazam, that Mitar Ha Ramei, Bebali Mumin, Ramei purified through Malika, the tumah of nevela of the bird, even if it's blemished, and moreover, even if it's geese and chickens, which They don't even apply at all to the altar. We don't bring any geese on the Mizbeach. But that's why he's explained the logic of Reb Meir. Since ultimately, Malika is appropriate for the category of birds, and because we learn out from Trefa that just like Betrefa, it always has to be the same in all situations, so too the Halacha of Nevela has to be the same in all situations. And therefore, since we find that there are birds that when you do Malik on them, it's not going to make it Tumas Nevela, so therefore explains Reb Elazar and Reb Meir, that means all category of birds it has to be the same. And since you find some birds that's not going to have a problem about Nevela when you do Malik on it, even if it's a Trefa, so then it's going to apply even if it's a Balmum, and even if it's a geese, as long as it's a bird, Malik will purify it from its Tumah of Nevela. Now, Rashi Ksaviad points out that although we learned in the Mishnah that, and this was we said in our Mishnah, that but if the bird is missing an eye or if it's missing a leg, and if you do Malika on Chulin, that it will be Metame Beveis Abliya. It says Rashi, must be that's not like Reb Meir, because the way Reb Elazar is saying it right now. No, actually, any bird that you do Malika on will purify from the Tumah of Nevela. Now, based on this opinion, Boyer Birmir says, Araf Eiz. If, let's say, there was a dead person that they found between cities and on the roads, so halacha is that you have to bring egla rufa. You have to take a calf and decapitate it. Now, let's say instead of bringing a calf, they brought a goat and decapitated the goat in place of a calf. According to Reb Meir, the way Reb Elazar just said his opinion, mahu, what's the halacha? Do we say that just like he purifies even geese and chickens through Malika, because we find Malika, at least in the species of birds, that it's going to be tar. So too, maybe we'll say, that will purify the nevela of a goat through Arifa, since, as we'll explain shortly, that decapitating the calf actually purifies it from the tumah of nevela as it would be by Shechita. Or do we say that no, maybe decapitating a goat will not purify it from the tumah of nevela, because you didn't do Shechita and you just decapitated. What's the question? As the Gemara explains, why did Reb Elazar say in the opinion of Reb Meir that even geese or chickens that are doing Malika and it's going to purify from Tumah Nevela because the Mina Daifus Ninu, it's from the species of birds. And again, as we learned from Trefa, to be Tumah Nevela has to be, the whole category has to be the same. And by birds, we don't find this all unilateral that it's going to have Tumah Nevela, and therefore it won't have any of them Tumah Nevela. Aval Eiz, but a goat, love Mina de Egla Ninu, it's not really the same species as a calf, because a calf is what's called a Behemah Gasa, it's from the large livestock. A goat is from what's called Behemah Daka, it's from the small livestock. And therefore it's not the same, and therefore we cannot apply the unilateral halacha of, since part of them is not going to have Tumah Nevela, so to the goat. Maybe we say it is the same species because ultimately they're both domesticated animals. Now, the Gemara doesn't answer the question, but Yosef Rav Dimi v'kamal alahosh maita. Rav Dimi was sitting, he was saying over this teaching. And normally Abaya said, well, machlal, the inference is, based on the question that was asked, is the egla rufa ta'irihi, that decapitating the calf purifies it. How can we purify it? It's a nevela. It was just, its head was chopped off. You have to do slaughtering to make it not a nevela. And then a Malay, he answered him, in yes, it actually will not be tamed as nevela, because Amri de Be'erbyanai, he was said in the Yeshiva Erbyanai, kaparik sibba, the terminology atonement is said in the context of the egla rufa, which is kukachim. Just like kachim is kapar atonement, so too egla rufa. And just like by kachim, that the halacha is that when you do its slaughtering or malika on it will purify from nevela, so too regarding the egla rufa, its procedure of decapitating will also purify it from tumas nevela. Now, Masav Rav Nosson Avuah Rav Huna Bar Nosson, he said from the following brisa. The brisa quotes the pasuk that we were saying, va'ochol tochlu, and I talk about chel nevela, chel trefa, you're not allowed to eat it, that you could use it for whatever you needed to, it's not going to have tumah, but it says, va'ochol tochlu, you're not allowed to eat it. So says the Braisa, Sa'ainli, so I wouldn't know that this pasuk is purifying the chalev from Tumas Nevela, el chalev, only the types of fats, sha'asar ba'chilu umutabana, that's forbidden to be eaten, like the pasuk says, don't eat it, but it's permitted to use it, like the pasuk says, ya'asal hamalacha, that you could use it, it's permitted for benefit. Chalev shashar haniskal ve'egla rufa, but the fats of the ox that gored and has to be stoned, or the decapitated calf, where they're actually forbidden to be eaten and of having benefit from them. Minayin, how do I know that still will apply the pasuk of using it, ya'aslacha malacha, that it doesn't mean using it for having benefit, because you can have benefit, but rather we would translate like we're translating all along, mean to say that it's not going to have tumas nevela. How do we know? Maybe I should say that it's only if you could use it like it says, ya'aslacha malacha. Tamalema, that's the pasuk teacher when it says, kol chelev, where it says, previously, it says there in the pasuk, Kol chelev shor b'seh ve'ez, all fats, what's the all? Coming to include even the fats of Asher Niskal and Egla Rufa, that it will be purified from the tumma of Nevela. Now, that asked the Gemara, v'sakataitach Egla Rufa ta'ari. Now, if you're going to assume, like the Gemara just said, that the decapitated calf, after it's decapitated, the whole animal is pure, like as if it was slaughtered, so then you think we need a pasuk to tell you that its fats are going to be tar? What, you can entertain to say that he tar? No, the animal is pure. The chel b'tamei and the fats are going to be tamei. To need a pasuk to say it's tar? We always have generally that the meat is tamei, but the chelev is tar. So why would I need a pasuk to say, oh, but egla rufa, oh, by the way, its meat is tar, but maybe you would think the chelev is tamei, so I'm going to tell you that's tar. How could you say that? If anything, the chelev is always more tar. So why would I need the pasuk, as the Brice is telling me, kol chelev, to say that its chelev is going to be tahar, if even the meat is tar, you're telling me? Oh, says the Gemara, no, you're right. Heichad di'aref mi'aref lo yitzuchlef. Of course, if they actually decapitated the calf, of course we don't need the pasuk to say that its chelev is tar. The whole animal is tar, like a properly slaughtered animal. Ki yitzuchel, when was the pasuk necessary? Was heichad de'shach de mishachat, where instead of decapitating it, they slaughtered the calf. Where now you're not having the decapitating, purifying it, because you didn't do procedure you're supposed to do, you rather slaughtered it, that's where the meat's going to be tameh, because it wasn't a properly decapitated calf, and that's what we're saying, but the chelev is going to be tar. That is the Gemara, but v'tahani le'shchita le'tar medei nevela. But then the slaughtering itself should purify it from having tumas nevela, because you don't have ever a kosher animal that was slaughtered that's going to transmit tumas, as we said in the previous daf. So again, the whole animal is going to be tar. Why do I need a pasuk to say that its chelev is going to be tar? Says the Gemara, no. Tricha, this that we need to purify the fats, the chelev of the decapitated calf, is shemesa, is where it died. This egla rufa wasn't decapitated, it just died. Now it's a regular nevela, and therefore its meat is going to be tummy, and that's what we need the pasuk to say, but that its fats are going to be tar, meaning that you shouldn't say that we didn't purify it from nevela, only a chelev that you could say what the pasuk says, yasal chamalacha, that you could use it and have benefit from it, but an egla rufa that's forbidden to have an, oh, you would think that not. Oh, it's the case that when it dies, that's when it's necessary to say that its fats is going to be tar. Now, but on that the Gemara asks, but machlal, the Gemara has like a secondary question, machlal de michayim asura. Well, the inference then is that the egla rufa is forbidden even when it's still alive, meaning even if it wasn't decapitated yet. Because from the fact that the Braisa teaches that the fats of the egla rufa is going to be forbidden to have ben, we're saying that it's something that's different than any regular nevela, because regular nevela, the meat is forbidden, the fat is forbidden to be eaten, but the fat's permitted to have benefit from it. But we said, well, what are you going to say with the egla rufa? We're there. There's the isra hana on the whole animal, including its fats. Now, we just explained the case of it is talking about, because you don't need it in the case of when you actually did a regular arifa, because then the whole animal's tar. We said it's when it dies, and it wasn't decapitated. And still, it wasn't decapitated, and we're saying that it's forbidden to have benefit from it. So when did it become an egla rufa to have the halachic properties of egla rufa, which is that it has isana? Obviously, it already became an egla rufa when it was even still alive, because it never had decapitation. What made it asmana? Generally, you assume when you decapitated, oh, it's egla rufa, halacha is unique on it, okay, you can't have any benefit from it. Like a shahar niskal, certain halachas. But you didn't decapitate it, it died. So when did it have the halacha of egla rufa? It sounds like when it was still alive, it got that. And so it's asmana. And yet still, that's the chiddush of kol chelev, the teaching, however, but that its fats are going to be tar. So when did it become us, or when it's alive? It says, we're in, yes. And Amr Biani, he says, Gvul Shemati, he says, I heard a context, a boundary for this, when it becomes Aser, but for Shechachti, I forgot when it was, but V'nasvin Chavrai Lameimer, but my colleagues, those in the yeshiva, they came together to say that Yiridasu L'Nachal Eisan Hiyasrasa. One of the halachas is an Egla Rufa. It has to be decapitated in a harsh valley, in that Nachal. Now, when it's coming down to the Nachal Eisen, now it's already in the category of Egla Rufa, it's then that it becomes Aser and becomes designated as Egla Rufa, not when it actually becomes decapitated, because we're saying it's going to be Aser Bano even without decapitation. Because that's the case we're talking about of the Chelev Nevela, of the Egla Rufa, that you needed to be permitting it from the Tumah of Nevela, it's going to be Tar. And therefore, it's when it comes down to Nachal Eisen, that's when it becomes Egla Rufa, and so although it's Aser Bano, but still, the chelev is going to be permitted. That's what we learn from kol chelev, meaning that it's not going to have an iser. It's not going to have the tumah of nevela, although you can't have benefit from it. But it will not transmit tumah, albeit the rest of the meat will, because it wasn't decapitated, it just died, but the chaylev will have like a regular chaylev of a kosher animal that when it's nevela, although the meat transmits tumma, but the chaylev will not. We shall return to the seventh paragraph, which again spoke primarily about chatas oif, which has its unique halacha of malika, and regarding things that go wrong in malika, and what's the ramifications, both regarding tumma beis abliya, and it's regarding its permissibility in regards to the beis hamikdash, putting on top of mizbeach and having to take it down. That's what the seventh paragraph of Masechta Zevachim primarily spoke about.